This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Sports Bettors Paradise on the Bet Rivers Network.
All right, Jimmy out along with Bruce Marshall. March Madness time of the year. Let's get ready for the NCAA tournament. Bruce Marshall is with us. And, Bruce, I mean, you know, does the NET count for anything? I mean, my goodness. I mean, Auburn, a top five NET, number four seed in the, by far, the number one overall seed bracket in UConn. Wow.
Yeah, it looks like some of the, I mean, the committee, it's a tough job the committee had this year, Jimmy, but I think they made up their mind on some of these teams before they really started getting the nitty gritty, for sure. I mean, some of these matchups were already in there, and they had Auburn pegged at a, you know, at a four seed. But if you watch games on the weekend and you thought they're a four and Creighton's a three, you know, something is wrong here. But I think they just didn't want to make some changes in some of those things. And in the end, it'll probably work out the same.
Oh, well, we saw it this year. I mean, Bill Self just flat out pulled, you know, rested, you know, his best two players.
Yeah.
And so you see what Auburn gets, no reward at all for a great run through a great tournament. Yeah. You saw Kelvin Sampson about the midway point early in the second half. He rested his best players in the tournament final in Kansas City against Iowa State. So maybe more of that. We talked about it on our radio show. Okay. This week. It's like a little bit of minor bowl handicapping when it comes to championship week with conference tournaments as far as the teams that are getting in. So
Yes, and a lot of these coaches don't mind. I don't think Rick Barnes minded too much that Tennessee got knocked out. He didn't like them playing poorly against Mississippi State, but – you know, they saved themselves a lot of wear and tear by getting done on Friday.
And I've seen it both ways. I've seen teams that win, win their tournament, go on to the national championship. UConn did not last year. And I've also seen teams, you know, get beat early that have gone on. Let's get to the games and the Thursday games, and we'll go chronologically early in the morning to start things off. Mississippi State and Michigan State, talking about one of those teams that had a good showing in the SEC tournament, their conference tournament. It's Mississippi State. Michigan State, you want to talk about the NAT? How that thing has to be broken. Michigan State kept losing, and they were in the top 20. Spartans, Izzo, got to be strictly a reputation number here. We know about his record in the tournament, especially as an underdog. Well, he's a favorite here by 1.5.
Yeah, and you're right about the NAT and Michigan State, and this is what we've said a lot about the NAT. It doesn't really punish you for losing games if you're losing to the right teams, and Michigan State's a great example of that. But a little bit erratic this season for Michigan State, and when you lose 14 games, that's the case, but they never quite shifted gears. And usually by this point, Michigan State, even in the past, we would have seen something to indicate that they're ready to make a run here. This team just really hasn't done it, never put a win streak together here. I was really impressed, though, by Mississippi State this weekend, Jimmy. We've talked about them on the radio this season. Where they've come with Chris Jans, you have the force down on the blocks and Tolu Smith, and what Hubbard did this season, coming in as an electric force. I mean, he's a little guy, but man, he certainly lights that court on fire at times. I think Mississippi State matches up very well with Michigan State, and I think North Carolina would not like to see them in the next round, but they might get them. So
yeah,
I'm going to lean
State,
the Bulldogs here, SEC.
Yep, need more cowbell, no doubt about it. State at Bet Rivers also 20-1 to come out of the West region. That region is vulnerable to the top seeds. In Arizona, they just figure out ways to lose, you know, over and over this year as a number two seed. So both Bruce and I on the Bulldogs in that one. Let's move on a little bit later in that morning in the early session. Speaking of those Arizona Wildcats, they are +250. They're actually the favorite over the number two seed. North Carolina's +300 at Bet Rivers to come out of the West region and go through Los Angeles. Long Beach, Arizona's laying 19.5. Dan Munson, oh, we remember. He was the Zags before the Zags were cool, all the way to that regional final where they lost to eventual national champion UConn. Long Beach catching 19.5.
Yeah, what a storyline here with the beach. And this is my alma mater, Jimmy. And I'll tell you what, we've got the best fight song now of everybody. It's new. It's like, you don't want to go to war with Long Beach. Let's go, beach. It's very cool. So we win that. But I think plus 19.5, 20 is really a spot here for Long Beach. And, of course, we know the Monson thing there. None of us like that they're pushing him out the door like that. But, man, this team circled the wagons on the weekend there. I am telling you, this could be a tougher matchup for Arizona than they get in the second round against Dayton or Nevada. Long Beach has a lot of length, a lot of athleticism, some explosive scores. Tsonis, their top scorer, has been hurting lately, but he was in there and was playing in Henderson down the street from me on the weekend. They also have a lot of fouls to use on Ballo down on the blocks there. Long Beach can run a lot of big guys at you, so they can use some fouls on him. What I don't like about Arizona, and mind, Jimmy, this is a team that lost games at Oregon State, Stanford, USC, got knocked out of the Pac-12 tournament last week. In the clutch, they often end up, Ballo sometimes is out of the game late, but it turns into the Larson, Caleb Love show shooting threes. If they don't hit them, they shoot themselves out of the games. They seem to even go away from Keyshawn Johnson too much at times late in the game. This team had too many stumbles to be trusted as a favorite in this region for the whole thing. And certainly at this price, that's too high, Jimmy. So I'm taking the beach.
A note to athletic directors. Patience, grasshoppers. I mean, just to practice a 24-hour rule. Let the season end, sleep on it, and then fire your coach. Whether it's going into, they're only a 4 seed. It's not like there's a 12. I mean, you know, and we just saw a 10. And, you know, Utah State women's, you know, come on. I mean, Stanford, you know, it has. I mean, just sleep on it. Patience, yep. Grasshoppers for the ADs. My goodness. All right, let's go moving on chronologically. Next up on the schedule on Thursday, we're looking at South Carolina out of the SEC. They've been very consistent, but man, they just don't match up against Auburn, huh? Collectively being getting outbeat, outscored by them by like 70 points in those two games. Oregon makes their way for the last Pac-12 tournament. And it was a little sentimental down in Las Vegas for that one. But the Ducks pull it off. Dana Altman's been here before with other teams. South Carolina, a 1-point favorite over the Ducks, who had to win to get in.
They did. And the Jermaine Cousinard game, because he came to Oregon last year from South Carolina. So there's that little connection with him here. Oregon is very interesting here, Jimmy, because this is a team that battled injuries all season. And one of their big guys, Biddle, still isn't playing. And Fale Dante, though, missed about the first half of the season, the big 7-footer, possible NBA lottery pick. And he started to play like one late in the season. He was really dominant, very good down the stretch. And certainly in the Pac-12 tournament, he was good. Also, I mean, the guards, Jackson Shellstad, a lot of people around the country might not have heard of him. He probably was the best freshman guard in the Pac-12 this year. And he and Cousinard, and look at Cousinard, some of the numbers he's been putting up lately. Extremely good, and we've seen Dana Altman's teams in the past sort of ascend toward the end of the season. Look, I think Lamont Paris did a great job with South Carolina, and they're not really that 3-point dependent like some of these other teams that bother me, but I think he squeezed the max out of these guys. Oregon's got some size. They've got the big guy. I think Oregon's going to get him here. And this is actually a nice sleeper team. Never mind that seed number. All of a sudden, it clicked for them last week in the Pac-12, and they took out Arizona and Colorado handily. I think Oregon's a side to look at, and I'd keep an eye on them throughout the weekend.
Well, I mean, you lose three opening night starters, you know, to injury, and you have to try and, I mean, that's a serious problem. Dante, the most outstanding player to Pac-12 tournament, 12 for 12 in the final against Colorado in that comeback, and rim defender as well, and even blocked a three to close out the game in Las Vegas. And, you know, yeah, Cousinard, who could – My buddy, Pat Bradley from the SEC now. Cousinard. Love the way he says that. Anyway, but South Carolina, very old team, an older team. And, you know, this should be your I think he was awarded the SEC Coach of the Year, but still a mature team that's gone on the road and won in Oxford and won in College Station, Starkville, Knoxville. So they have one away from home. Yep. So I think that's an intriguing matchup. Altman, a veteran in a tournament against an upstart here for South Carolina. Let's move on. And this is a good one here. This is in the evening session on Thursday. Gonzaga. Well, some people call them still a mid-major. You don't make it to the tournament 30 straight times or whatever it's been, and you're not an underdog. You're way more of a Goliath than a David. Open up 6.5. It's at 6 right now over Willie Way, Willie the Kids, McNeese State Cowboys.
I love McNeese, what he's done. I'm not sure if I like him in this spot, but listen, this is the portal is made for Will Wade. Jimmy, isn't it? I mean, look, he went
the,
out there.
The modern-day basketball roster building is for Will Wade. Yes, everybody's got excuses. He just takes. Bruce, he's got like 3 or 4 guys wherever he goes, whether he's in Lake Charles or Louisville next year, he's got guys ready to go.
And how he constructed this roster, I mean, Shoemate's like the only guy who's playing for McNeese who was really playing for them last year. I mean, he went far and wide. Shahada Wells, his top scorer, perfect portal guy, sort of underused at TCU, comes here for Wade, turns into their top scorer, very good. He's got guys from UMass. He's got guys from UT San Antonio. He's got guys from Bakersfield. You talk about bringing them all together. But, I mean, he turns into a lethal force in a league like the Southland, and this team is good. They can score. He's got a couple of bigs, too. They're not their top scorers, including the kid from Bakersfield, who might be able to bang with Graham Ike down on the block. So it's an intriguing matchup. It's not going to be easy for Gonzaga. However, I think down the stretch here, Mark Few made the adjustments he needed to make. Now, Gonzaga, remember, this year, out in the portal, he needed a post threat. He went out and got the best one on the block in the market, EK. He needed a point guard. Nembhard was the best one on the market, so he got two of the top guys in the market. He needed a spot shooter. He got Steele Venters from Eastern Washington. So he did his job in the portal. Venters, though, got hurt in preseason practice. Now, that hurt because, one, it hurt their depth, and two, they didn't have that spot shooter that they needed. It took Few a while to figure out what to do with this team. When he moved Ben Gregg into the lineup, he's 6'10", but he hangs out on the perimeter offensively. That seemed to open the floor a little bit more. That's when Nolan Hickman started to get hot and hit threes. They weren't hitting threes that well at all. Defenses were backing off on Gonzaga. When Hickman started to hit threes, along with Gregg, they had to come out and chase him on the perimeter. That's when things started to change for Gonzaga, and they started to play very well. Throw out the game against St. Mary's last week. That didn't mean that much. They were already in there. They had done their job against St. Mary's the week before. I think Gonzaga has got good value to win this region. And this is a legitimate team that can make a run. McNeese, a lot of teams I would like McNeese against, but not this one. I'm going to give Gonzaga a vote and keep a star on them and an arrow pointing up. They could be a team to watch here.
McNeese State negotiated roughly a $1.25 million budget for either. He said, give me the million for the NIL budget. I'll take $250,000, and we'll go like this. So he's going to get another job, whether it's this year or next year. He's not going to move for the win. And I also sent him a message that said, man, this is more of a VCU team than an LSU team. This team got a little havoc in him, a little nastiness, and he agrees. And Shahada Wells, you talk about it, he can create, he can score from all areas on the court, and he can create for his teammates. Very, very smart, doesn't force things, but reads defenses, and he is a scorer, no doubt about that. That's going to be a fun one, Gonzaga and McNeese State Thursday night. All right, the last game we're going to talk about late on Thursday night schedule. NC State, 100-1, 5 wins in 5 days. But then again, will they do it in them? Shades of when that Valvano's team beat Ralph Sampson and Michael Jordan when they had to win to get to the tournament? Maybe so. I know one thing. They got a missed free throw by Virginia to set up the 3 to keep them alive in the semifinal game. Texas Tech is 5.5 against the Wolfpack. 5 games in 5 days, and then they play on a Thursday instead of Friday. Concerned about their legs, Bruce?
I was last week, and they kept proving me wrong. I mean, that was just an adrenaline rush max, and sometimes it is hard to replicate that 5 days later because the crowd sometimes in these first-round games, there's a lot of empty seats, and we'll see if they can do it. However, I'm a little surprised none of the pundits last night were talking about NC State. By me, they've they do something that I really like with teams right now. And we heard all year that people in the ACC told us, keep an eye on these guys. They should be probably playing a little bit better than they are. They don't rely on threes, Jimmy. And that's my one thing that I look at a lot of these teams. The ones that are so three-point dependent, there's a bunch of them in this field. Most of the teams are. It can be so up and down. These guys took only about 17 per game in D.C. last week. That is not a big number. And the reason, I think, is because of Burns down on the blocks. He's a big bruiser. They can run the offense through him if they have to. He gets touches on most possessions. And you saw in the Virginia game in the overtime, I mean, they went to him time and time again. Now, they have guards who can score if they need it. Horn came up pretty big in the tournament. You've got Morsell. I mean, they do have some guards, but they do have the big guy. They don't rely on threes that much. I like what McCaslin did at Texas Tech. Pop Isaac, one of my favorite names. They are good. But I think NC State is way undervalued here. We saw it last week, and you're right. It's March. Magic. That's happened before with NC State. I'm sure it's going to happen this year, but it sure did last week in D.C.
DJ Horns and DJ Burns. And you know what also they have in common? They're both redshirt seniors.
Yes.
This COVID year, maybe this is the last year of sort of that extra year, but they're old. And guess what? Age does happen. So that little two-man game, inside, outside, is, I mean, pick your poison. You mean, because Baycott is as tough of an interior defensive player as he is, and he took him to school in the ACC final. So, and remember, you don't want to go to war with Bruce Marshall. Go Beach. Yes, indeed.
You'll make Paul sing the Texas song tomorrow, okay?
For Bruce Marshall, I'm Jimmy Yod. March Madness. We got picks all the way through the Final Four right here on Sports Bettors Paradise on the Bet Rivers Network.